You are about to learn whether Saab is going to make it or break it. This is Autoline. Saab is a Swedish car company with a proud heritage that's been around since the late 1940s. But for the last 20 years or so, it was owned and run by General Motors and just about run out of business. GM finally decided to dump the brand last year, and in a last-minute deal, it was bought up by Spyker, a Dutch company that hand-builds exotic sports cars, only a handful or two every year. But Spyker believes it can revive Saab and go on to build it into a profitable car company again. And maybe it can, but it isn't going to be easy. Saab has essentially been out of the car business for about a year, and it will take an enormous effort to start bringing customers back into the showrooms. But that effort is already underway. To learn what the company is doing and how it plans to get back on its feet, my special guest today is Mike Colleran, the president and COO of Saab Cars USA. And joining me on my journalist panel are Jeff Bennett from The Wall Street Journal and Todd Lassa from Motor Trend Magazine. Stay right where you are, because this story about Saab striving to make a comeback is either going to become a Harvard MBA case study or end up in the trash bin of history.
From our studios in the Motor City, this is Autoline. Here now is John McElroy.
Welcome back here in the studio. And joining us, our special guest today, is Mike Colleran, the president and COO of Saab Cars USA. Great having you here on the set of Autoline Detroit.
Great to be here, John.
Also joining us today is Todd Lassa from Motor Trend and Jeff Bennett from The Wall Street Journal. And great having the both of you guys here, too.
Good to be here.
So tell us, what's going on at Saab? You guys have gotten bailed out by Spyker. The company is surviving to fight another day.
So, see, you want to hear my Saab story. That's it. There's good things going on. It's been an incredible journey, a roller coaster ride, if you will, over the last 16, 17 months as we've gone from a strategic review of the Saab brand all the way to the sale that culminated on February 23rd, with the sale of Saab to Spyker Cars NV. Very exciting times. We're really happy to get started. We've saved some jobs here in southeastern Michigan, and we've got a car company here in Michigan. We're getting ready to go.
Tell us a little bit about that. Why did you choose Royal Oak, Michigan for the headquarters for Saab in the United States? It's a company that's been in many other locations in its history here. Why Royal Oak, Michigan?
Well, Royal Oak was one of the early contenders when we started talking about carving out the Saab brand and finding a new home for it. We looked at a number of different areas, and as you might expect, John, we looked at Boston, traditional stronghold for us, Connecticut. We even looked at places like North Carolina, a strong contender as well. But when you look at southeastern Michigan, there's great automotive talent here. The automotive suppliers are here. It's the hub of the automotive business here in the U.S. It was the right thing for us. And then we looked a little bit closer, and we said, okay, where do we really want to be located? And Royal Oak just really stood out. A young, vibrant community, relative to the southeastern Michigan troubles that are out there. But it had the right feel for us, the right target market for us. And then we found this incredible property in the northwest corner of Royal Oak off of Delamere Court near 14 Mile. And it's a beautiful building. And when you walk through the door, it just says Saab. It feels Saab. The use of blonde woods, the use of metals. It feels very automotive inside, very Scandinavian. And it's a place that we said, you know what, we can call this home.
My question for you, Mike, I know that you're getting going, you're bringing new product over, but, how really to reconnect with this customer? This customer had been up in the air. They didn't know where the future with Saab was going. I know that those customers are fierce and loyal to you, but how do you want to reconnect with them? Or, has too much time passed that they've kind of moved on? Or where do you think things are at?
I don't think they've moved on, Jeff. It's a great question because the customers our customers that buy our cars and our dealer customers that buy our cars from us have gone through a lot. But clearly, they've stayed loyal to us. When you look at all the rallies that took place all across the country, we had, I think, over 40 rallies here in the U.S., and, of course, it was all across Europe. Customers rallied and said, we need to save Saab. They haven't given up on us. They clearly believe that Saab was worth saving. It was a great brand that they identified with, and they wanted to see the next era of Saab. And so connecting with them is really our first priority out of the gate, other than getting some product on the shelves to sell to them. We said we've got to talk to these customers first. It's certainly a customer that is predisposed to us already and likes the brand. So let's get out there and talk to them. Let's talk to them through direct mail. We know who they are. We know where to find them. And so we can talk to them direct mail, digitally. And just recently, we've brought out a little loyalty bonus for them as well, so that they have a reason to come down to the showrooms and see the product that's out there and the product that's about to arrive there. And get back into another Saab.
Mike, those customers you talk about, the loyal customers, to me they've always liked Saab because Saab has been different. And the problem with Saab to me has always been, well, how do you grow a company and not lose the customer who likes Saab because he doesn't see it running back and crossing the street everywhere he goes? So in Geneva, Victor Mueller spoke about how Spyker has sold something like 50 cars and Saab's a huge company for him. How many Saabs a year can you sell? How many should you sell without losing that core buyer?
Well, I think we'd like to get back to our historical volumes. Clearly, this year we're going to produce 50 to 60,000. That's out there already. And we'll get our fair share of that. Typically, that runs about 27 to 30%, somewhere in that range. And as we grow the business to 100, 125,000, we expect Saab Cars USA and North America to get its fair share of that business. So can we sell that volume? Absolutely. Can we sell it profitably? Absolutely. We've lowered our structural costs across the board, which is a big part of why Victor believes that the business plan is achievable. And I will tell you, it's very achievable. And we can do it at that volume and still retain something that's very unique. 30,000 cars sounds like a lot of vehicles, but really when you think about it in the context of the U.S. automotive industry, that's not very many cars. And you can have a network that can survive on 30,000 units and still have a vehicle that feels very individual and very unique to that customer.
And so you'll be happy with a steady 100 to 125,000 globally or, 40, 50, 60,000 U.S. for the long term?
Well, I think we'd always love to sell more, obviously. That's the nature of the business. But can we make money at those levels? Absolutely.
That's a key thing. But talk about some of the product that you're going to have. The only thing I'm aware of in your lineup right now are the 9.3 and the 9.5 sedans that will be coming out of Sweden. The 9.7, is that still being built? That was a General Motors SUV that Saab had in its lineup. But what else is there going to be?
Yeah, John, a lot of new products coming, and that's probably the one thing that attracted me to taking on this position. We've got the gun loaded and ready to go with a bunch of new products, and I'm sure it's one of the things that Victor saw and said, okay, this brand is a gold mine, and we need to explore it. We're not building the 9.7X anymore. That went out of production almost over a year ago now. Still a few left to sell, but pretty much we're done selling that vehicle. Almost immediately, we'll start to see a new variant of the 9.3 Sport Combi wagon for those non-Saabies out there. That's the 9.3X, which is essentially a combi that is raised up, has a sport utility feel, and I think will really appeal to a certain segment of the buyer that we haven't been able to talk to. So 9.3X is on its way right now, and that'll have cross-wheel drive and electronic limited slip differential, so a really neat product from us. That'll be followed in the summer by the 9.5 sedan, which we're all long awaited for. We waited a long time for that vehicle, and that really positions us into the segment, that premium luxury sedan segment that we haven't really been able to approach with the current 9.5 sedan, going up against A6 and the 5 Series and the Volvo S80. So we really need a credible product in that segment, and I think we have that in the new 9.5. That'll be followed in Q1 of 2011. So less than a year from now, we'll have the 9.4X, a premium crossover, which will be huge for our dealers here in the U.S. and, you know, gets into a segment that's got a lot of volume in it. So we're very excited about that.
The 9.4X, that's built by General Motors, is that right?
It'll be contract built for us by General Motors, and they'll build that in Ramos, Mexico.
Where the Cadillac SRX is made.
That's correct. It is a sister vehicle of the SRX, although really from a performance feel very different, tuned to a more Swedish feel. And, you know, from an exterior standpoint and an interior standpoint, where the customer touches the car, they're going to be completely different vehicles.
Will Saab continue to ask GM to contract vehicles for it?
Well, we could. I guess that's the beauty of being an independent company. You can now branch out and find a lot of different partners out there, and Saab has a history of partners, especially in the component areas. I mean, we've sourced engines from two-stroke engines from NSU years ago, and V4s from Ford. Exactly, I see.
In the Sonnet,
yeah. Sonnet, exactly, and. We sourced Triumph engines for a while from British Leyland. So we have a history of sharing componentry and partnering up, and I think you'll see a lot more. As a matter of fact, Victor and Jan-Åke Jansson, CEO of Saab, have been out there talking about that, and I think there's some real opportunities out there. There's great technologies out there, and they're something we want to look at.
Okay, did we miss anything? 9.3, 9.4, 9.5, anything else?
We did, and then followed on by a 9.3 in 2012. So. With the variants that come along with the 9.3. So very exciting time. And if you look back at Saab's history, at least recently, probably the one thing that's been missing is a lot of fresh product. We really haven't had a new Saab from Saab in quite some years. So we've got a lot of product lined up, and products are like blood of the industry.
Mm-hmm. And that 9.3, you're about halfway through the development of that new mm-hmm. car. And yet Mr. Mueller and Mr. Jansson have spoken about how that car might actually, you might go to some other suppliers for that, but yet it will be on the GM platform that it was originally intended for, I would presume.
Well, Tom,
how can you make those changes without delaying the launch of the car?
Yeah, that's, you know, the later you're into the production or the development cycle, the less you can change. And certainly as we're working on the 9.3, you know, you start to have certain things that you can do and can't do. I would still contend that there are some things that you can still do, even this late in the cycle. But early, if you look at the current products there, the 9.5 and the 9.4X that are, when I say current, that are currently about to arrive here, they're in the can. They're done, they're engineered, and ready to go. But the 9.3, the next generation 9.3, there'll still be some room for componentry sharing. What components we share, I couldn't tell you at this point.
And I guess that opens up my question, too. Do you feel that perhaps down the line, once you get some of these done that had a GM influence, will we see some shifting back maybe to some more kind of Saab-like design? Do you want to try and kind of inject some of that back in, or where do you think you stand with that?
Absolutely. I think we've done a good job with that on the new 9.5 and the 9.4X. You're not seeing any more of the what might be called rebadging along the way, where you're taking an exterior and changing a few things, and maybe it doesn't have the key in the center, or it doesn't have the right look and feel on the inside. I think those days are beyond us. Clearly, the 9.5 is a Saab from the ground up. It has all the traditional Saab cues, and if you look at the 9.4X, the same is true there. But I think where you're going, Jeff, is the next iteration of that, hatchbacks and things like that. And I would say, stay tuned. There's a lot of talk about that type of design work, and we're excited about it.
There have been rumors that you've been talking with VW regarding engines. Can you say anything about that?
I don't have any information for you, Todd.
Okay, and then the other one, the other hot one, of course, there's a lot of talk about a 9.2, and actually, again, Mueller and Jansson have spoken about that. They'd love to do something like that, but at this point, you don't have the resources. You're a new company, essentially. You don't have the money for that. Can you talk about how that might develop along the line or how far down?
Sure. I think it's a high priority for the company. Victor and Jan-Åke both stated that.
And what would a 9.2 be, just so everybody watching has an idea of what you're talking about?
It would be a smaller Saab. I think to be successful, it has to be It can't just be a smaller Saab. It can't be just a smaller version of what's out there now. It has to be something that's iconic and that's different in the marketplace. When I think of it, I think of like a BMW Mini is probably the best example of that.
But with the aerodynamic cues of the original 92, the very first Saab.
Well, that is some of the discussion, right. The teardrop shape.
That's what should
the
be
92.
Done.
And,
you can do it
and what a beautiful shape to start with.
Sure.
Classic.
It is a classic shape, and we'd love to do something like that. And I think there's room in the marketplace for that. But it has to be done right. It can't just be a smaller version, if you will, of your current styling. You have to take a bold step, if you will.
People have always loved Saabs. I mean, it's known the world over, but it's also been known as maybe not being all that reliable. The quality's good, everything fit and finish, and the quality of the materials, but where do you guys stand in terms of reliability?
Well, John, there's great news there, and thank you for asking. The J.D. Power VDS study,
vehicle dependability
study, was just announced the other day, and Saab had another great move upwards. We're now ahead of Volvo, we're ahead of Audi, we're ahead of BMW, and there's just one more out there to chase. So we're not there yet. We want to be the best, but we're on our way, and we're very excited about this latest round of studies.
And how do you get your dealers going again? I mean, here they've been out of the market for essentially, over half a year right now, and you're still a couple of months away, am I right, from getting cars to them?
Not quite that long from getting cars to them, and it's probably been more like a year since they've had product flowing into their stores. So they're very excited about boats on the water right now. And as a matter of fact, I don't know exactly where the boat is, but it's getting close to New Jersey.
Crossing the Atlantic.
It's really close to New Jersey right now. I think there's a guy out there with binoculars looking.
But how do they get cranked up again? I mean, because to drop out of the market for the year has got to really hurt in terms of just awareness on the part of the consumer.
Yeah, there's a couple things that need to happen pretty quickly. I think the first of those happened the other day when we announced a partnership with GMAC to continue that partnership so that they have the retail tools that they need to sell the cars to consumers and to buy the cars from us, which is very important. In addition, we've got to get cars into them. So product, like I said, is just about to be offloaded. We'll start to see out of Newark cars coming in here pretty quickly. And then the other thing that I think has been missing for some period of time, back in the August 2008 timeframe, GMAC pulled out of leasing and left Saab without its primary retail selling tool. We were selling 55% of our business was lease, and so we absolutely needed a lease back. And now we are getting ready to get product on the ground. It's in our intent to get to leasing almost right away and get our dealers back leasing again. So I think when you've got the product, you've got a lease in place, and you've got consumers that love you coming back in your stores. That's how that happens. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a little time.
And going forward, too, where do you see what will Spyker's role be? I mean, are they going to concentrate solely just on Saab, or do you foresee them looking for some other partnerships that may come up, trying to perhaps build a bigger company?
Well, certainly from a componentry standpoint, as we talked about, looking for partnerships. Beyond that, Jeff, I really can't see what's out there right now. But I guess that's a possibility going forward of partnering up. Spyker Cars NV is a supercar company that sells a great product, a beautiful product, just a design study, and certainly Victor Mueller, who is our chairman, is a design enthusiast. He just loves design, and so I think we're going to see some great designs coming out of this new company. But clearly, the intent is to run the brands as separate brands. Spyker is one brand, and Saab is another brand. And I think that the leadership of this new company wants to protect that and make sure that the brands stay authentic and pure to the roots. And when you mix brands, I think bad things happen. And clearly, Victor and Janoki said, hey, we're not going to do that. We're going to operate these as two separate organizations.
So no plans to kind of expand Spyker, kind of use the advantage of having a much larger company, even though it's small, Saab, and maybe building more than they've built 50 Spykers altogether so far. No No plans for anything like that? No plans for Spikers and Saab dealerships, for example?
Well, I think that there's opportunities where Spiker could be in some of the dealerships. Certainly, dueling is a very common practice right now, and it's something that that I think both brands are open to. So I think you will see dueling in the U.S. dealerships. I can't speak for that for the team globally, but in the U.S., I think we will see that. And I think that's a good way for our dealers to leverage both brands and become more profitable. From a standpoint of going forward with products, which I think was the first part of your question, I think there's opportunities for component sharing between the two. They're probably limited at first, but clearly there are some opportunities to do that. And I'd love to see what that would be.
They could work on a new Sonnet for you.
Could be.
Mike, talk a little bit about your marketing and advertising plans, again, with this idea of how do you get people back in the showrooms. And do you have a tagline? I mean, I remember some of them in the past, the most recent being Born from Jets, and I think there was another one called Find Your Own Way. Have you picked out a new slogan? And again, how do you plan to launch your marketing and advertising?
Yeah, John, we actually went away from the Born from Jets theme I think in November of 2009, so fairly recently. We started moving the brand to a more global message. Currently, that's Move Your Mind. Not sure where that will be in the future. Certainly, the new company has to work a lot of things out. I think that that is one of them. But for the moment, it's Move Your Mind, and you'll see that all of our websites and communications now are tagged with the Move Your Mind tagline and have that creative underlying all of that work. Where we go from here, early on, we're gonna focus on our loyal customers that have been with us for years, and we kind of talked about that a little bit just a second ago. And then as we start to launch the new product, obviously we'll broaden our media scope and our advertising message and be a bigger presence in the U.S. market.
Print, television, radio, internet, where do you see any of that planned out just yet?
I think it's a spread. I think you have to be in a lot of different places. For the volumes that we're at and will be at for the short run, I think you need to stay a little bit smaller. And it's social media is a great way to connect these days, and certainly it's growing and its effectiveness is growing. Online is a great place to be as well. And at some point when you get to a point where you're really working to get that new consumer into the showrooms, you have to look at some of the other media tools as well, possibly print. And there's so many things you can do today with targeted cable and zip code targeting that there's a lot of choices out there. But we'll have to be smart with our media choices and start slow and build from there.
Mike, I just find it really interesting that you really believe that a niche automaker standalone can really work at a time when almost every other automaker is being pushed to partner up or join up or form, even had Chrysler merging with Fiat to stay alive. I mean, what's your sense on why you think, Saab has those legs to really stand on its own and kind of function at a time when there's just been so much, pressure to merge with others?
Yeah, and I think that pressure is real. It's out there. But clearly, looking at our business plan, we've seen the numbers, and the numbers indicate that we can do it, and we can do it around 100,000 units. As we've talked about, structural costs are going to be well down, and I can tell you that our structural costs just here in the U.S., we're going to come out of the gate, and we're going to be 30-40% structural cost of what we were just a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So when you start to take out that structural cost, and we're seeing that really across the industry right now, you can make some pretty good money. And I think the auto industry has taken a lot of cost out. That includes Saab, and we're going to see more profitable automobile businesses here, including Saab.
Mike, are you happy with where Saab's position is? I guess I'd call it maybe a semi-premium. I remember when the 9.3, the current model, first launched, its most successful version was a launch model that had a lot of added features for under $30,000. Where do you see the positioning going or changing, if at all?
And we're down to the last minute. So
I see the positioning going upscale to some degree. Certainly, the 9.4X takes us up a little bit. The 9.4X or the 9.5 sedan, positioning that against the A6 and 5 Series takes us upscale. to some degree. Can you still appeal to the move-up customer using the 9.3 and perhaps some sort of 92 smaller Saab later in our portfolio? Absolutely. So I think we have a good spot in the marketplace.
Real good. Mike Colleran, thanks so much for coming in and talking about Saab. It's going to be exciting watching you get this launched again.
I can't wait. It's exciting. Thank you.
And Todd Lassa and Jeff Bennett, thank you guys, too. And thank all of you for watching. But I'll be back in a moment with some closing thoughts. I have to admit, I feel a lot more optimistic about Saab after listening to Mike Colleran. It's amazing to hear how much the company has cut cost and reduced its break-even point. I had no idea it was making so much progress so fast. Even so, the company has a lot of work ahead of it. The real test will come when it has to cough up billions to replenish its product line. But I imagine if it does get to that point, there will be plenty of investors and lenders who will be very interested in getting in on the action. Join me again next week when my guest will be Dan Knott, the head of purchasing at Chrysler. Now, there's another turnaround story that we'll want to learn more about. That's next Sunday, same time, same station. We'll see you then. Hey, McElroy here with a special message for our podcast listeners. We know you like Autoline, but did you know you can get even more great content all week long? Check out my multimedia blog, John's Journal, where you can find videos, inside looks at new product, my radio reports, and much more. On John's Journal, you can leave feedback and discuss the latest industry news, as well as subscribe to our RSS feed. Just click John's Journal on AutolineDetroit.tv or visit us directly at AutolineDetroit.tv/journal. That's AutolineDetroit.tv/journal. I'll see you there.